Welcome to the United Uncovered podcast as we go behind the scenes and the theatre of dreams. I'm Mark Sullivan from MUTV and I'm joined by Adam Bostock, Adam Marshall and James Tuck from the club website. Coming up on today's show, we praise Wayne Rooney as he reaches 200 goals. We hear from Nicky Butt about the UEFA Youth League. Andy Cole speaks exclusively to the United Uncovered podcast ahead of the derby. And finally, we play podcaster v player with the striker. Okay, guys, I think we all agree the season is well underway now. It's been a busy week, Adam.
Certainly has, yeah. Two home games in the space of 4 days and thankfully two victories. One perhaps more convincing than the other, but ultimately it doesn't matter. We've got that first home win for David Moyes in the Premier League and then a great start in the Champions League. So, yeah, the season is very much underway and we've got some other big games to look forward to.
Yeah, some huge games on the horizon. Speak about the derby a little bit later on. Firstly, the Wayne Rooney, 200 goals for Manchester United now. And head and shoulders about everybody on that pitch against Leverkusen. What a night for him.
He was brilliant, wasn't he? I mean, it evoked memories of his debut for me, I think, in certain respects, when he got the hat-trick, because he was just that good. And it's been a long time since he's been absolutely flying like that, I think. And for me, the one moment that stood out, aside from the goals, was that bit of skill he did. It was right at the other end of the pitch from where I was, but to beat the defender, sort of pirouetted round, spun round him on the touchline. I think when he got a corner in the end, but to see him do that just shows the confidence he's got at the moment. And all right, he should have perhaps had a hat-trick, he could have scored that one or at least laid it on for Robin, but it's a great performance from Wayne and he's now getting back to the peak form that we all knew he could show.
Interesting to read quotes from Wayne saying, James, that he feels fit, he feels great. He's praised David Moyes' training regime, saying that's helped him a lot. And he's also spoken glowingly of his strike partner, Robin van Persie. So all seems well with Wayne.
Yeah, and he does really look fit as well. I think David Moyes has commented on that. But, you know, against Palace, considering he was just coming back, he really looked sharp, and even more so against Bayer Leverkusen. So, you know, a fit Wayne Rooney really is a potent threat. And as you say, his partnership with Van Persie has been really good so far, and hopefully that's going to continue.
Yeah, fourth on the all-time top scorers list for the Reds, now behind Jack Rowley, Dennis Law, and the great Sir Bobby Charlton. 249 goals Sir Bobby has amassed. Do you think Wayne can eclipse him?
Well, I think if he, you know, remains here for another two, three, four, hopefully longer seasons. Yes, I think Lou Macari was speaking this week and said it's a certainty that Wayne will beat that record. And those records are, of course, ultimately there to be broken. Nobody expected Sir Bobby's appearances record to go. And, of course, it's now long gone to a young man called Ryan Giggs. So, and I think it can only be a positive if Wayne gets even close to that mark, because it'll mean he's scoring goals for United, and it'll mean that we're hopefully winning matches and getting close to more trophies ultimately.
Yeah, well, what does the great man Sir Bobby Charlton himself think of Rooney and the record? Let's hear from him now.
It was magic, you know. I mean, he'll run, but he wants to score. I think I've decided that that's his main aim. He wants to score. And he settled down a little bit more with Van Persie, which wasn't the case early on. Nothing wrong with them, but he just two playing together. They don't mix sometimes, but they mix now. They're okay.
Absolutely. So, did Wayne, when he first, you mentioned the hat trick on his debut, did he strike you then as somebody who could go on to become a Manchester United great?
Yeah,
he was only 18 at the time, or 19 at the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it was natural, and he's a natural player. You know. Can't help himself. Not a dirty player. Everything that a spectator or a supporter would want to see. But if he breaks a record, I've had lots of records, and they keep saying that they'll break them, and nobody has. But I've told him. I've spoken to him before, you know, and I've told him that he's. He's doing really, really well. Fantastically well.
And of course, you're delighted that he's still a Manchester United player.
I am. And I think he will enjoy the rest of his career too. Mm-hmm. If it's here for all of it,
absolutely. Because you were quite pleased, weren't you? I think when your appearances record was broken, yeah, it was fitting that it was someone like Ryan Giggs.
Yes, yeah.
And you'd be equally happy if someone like Wayne Rooney broke the goals record.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to begin with, I didn't think it was important that. I think the first time I went into the league, I think was Cardiff away, and I couldn't remember, and the press, I remember mentioning it, and I thought, well, I can't get it important. It's not important to me that really, but it becomes important, and afterwards it's a natural thing to do if you're the top one with the best. The biggest prize, great. But I'm 75 now. I don't have to worry about it.
No. Because of course you and Dennis were so close. Yourself and Dennis. Was there a friendly rivalry about being the number one?
No, not at all. You talk about it after it happened. That's what I would say. But you didn't think about it before the game at all. Not at all.
But only four gentlemen have achieved this feat of 200 goals. Yourself, Dennis, Jack Rowley, and Wayne. How does Wayne compare to the rest of you as a player? Is he a very different player to Dennis Law, for example, isn't he? Would you say?
Yeah, different. George, different to him. Yeah, I think he's scoring goals. Sometimes he finds. Goals at regular intervals, you know. But he's I'm lose no sleep at all over it. If he wins, I'll be something else for the club to be proud of.
And when do you think it might happen? He would have to score
40 odd. He needs 40 odd.
He needs 49, doesn't he?
Well, he can do that one season. I won't say he'll do it this season, but yeah. Two or three seasons, that's all.
So you think it's a certainty?
Yeah. And he can buy the drinks.
Yeah, so many, many goals for Rooney for the Reds. But do you guys at home have a favourite? Let's ask our podcasters here for theirs. Adam Marshall, have you got a favourite Wayne Rooney strike?
There's some obvious ones, I guess, aren't there?
Can't all say the overhead kick against City in the derby,
and the Newcastle volley against Middlesbrough, like the one that he chips over the goalkeeper. I think you got a couple in that game, and that game was another one where he was red hot. So I'll go for that one.
Okay, James.
I think my favourite is a goal that got goal of the season. I think a few seasons ago, the breakaway goal at the Emirates, where it was we just completely sived Arsenal apart with like one touch of football, and then he slotted it into the corner. That was. No, I think that really showed United at their best, so that's my favourite.
I'm going to be obvious, I'm sorry. I'm going to go for the barnstorming volley against Newcastle that Adam mentioned a moment ago. I just think the power in that shot was just tremendous. It just said everything about, you know, it was a classic Roy of the Rovers goal, if you will. Sort of, you can almost see this, the words, kapow, whatever, coming out of the ball as he struck it. It was just hit with incredible venom, and no goalkeeper would have stopped that. And it was that goal was evocative of Sir Bobby Charlton, I think, the sort of goals he used to score in his pomp.
I'm torn between him scoring at Anfield, just because of what it means, a young Scouse lad scoring at Anfield, or maybe his first free kick against Fenerbahce, you know, in his debut. That just was a terrific memory because it was like, Wayne Rooney has arrived, we've got this special talent, here he is in a red shirt. I was going to go for the City of Hickey, it's too obvious, isn't it? But there's so many goals to choose from.
200, in fact.
200, exactly, yeah. You guys at home, you've probably got your own favourites as well. OK, do you think, Adam, his style of play has changed at all over the 90s? I mentioned that debut hat-trick against Fenerbahce, including that free kick. That was when he was just a mere 18 years of age. How has he developed over time?
I think he sort of he comes and goes in different phases, really. I think there's there's periods of his career where he's been an out-and-out goal scorer, the fox in the box, if you will. There's been other periods where he's been dropping off and being the talisman in midfield, at times perhaps playing too deep to the detriment of his goal scoring, because he's almost been the player who's wanted to go and get the ball off the centre-backs and make things happen from the back. So I think it's sort of... I don't think it's a sort of a pure evolution from one style of player to another. I think he's sort of had different strengths and different styles to his game at different times. Just at the moment, he's doing everything, isn't he? I mean, he's everywhere on the pitch. He's scoring goals and creating them as well. I thought the layoff for Valencia was a key moment in Tuesday's match, and I was very pleased to see Antonio get that goal. Not quite as pleased as Antonio himself. That was quite some celebration, wasn't it? So I think at the moment, Wayne is very much the all-rounder, but an all-rounder who can put the ball away, which is fantastic.
Certainly is. OK, let's get some reaction to this incredible milestone.
Wayne Rooney became only the fourth player in Manchester United's history to reach 200 club goals when he scored his second in the 4-2 victory over Bayer Leverkusen on Tuesday night.
Can he finish off Leverkusen? Rooney! 200 Manchester United goals for Wayne Rooney. And he joins a very exclusive club, just the fourth player to reach that milestone.
Now only three players stand ahead of Wayne in the club's goal-scoring charts. Jack Rowley is third with 211 goals. Dennis Law is in second spot with 237. And Sir Bobby Charlton sits at the top of the pile with 249. Those totals all look well within Rooney's reach in the near future. But for now, reaching a tally of 200 is an achievement worth celebrating.
Well, I'm probably not the right man to talk about someone who scores 200 goals, because probably there's other people seeing more of them than me. But, you know, I introduced him to Everton. We brought him into the team then, so I know exactly what we were dealing with as a player. But, you know, I think he joins maybe only, what, three or four others who've ever done it. It's a great achievement. And I think, you know, I remember saying that at the start of the season, you know, there's a chance that he could go on to become one of the all-time greats here with his goals. So I'm looking forward to trying to get him to that next milestone. That would be great for us as a club and for him as a player.
Reds legend Lou McCorry also appreciates Rooney's achievement.
And that goal-scoring record, Mandy, is quite incredible. It puts him up there with the very best at the club, which is what he's been and done since he's been here. But unfortunately, because of the transfer saga, that was all getting sort of taken away from him. People were... He was becoming a bit of a villain. You know, apart from the goals that he gets, his all-round game is good, and I've said it before, inside that box, and I know Robin Van Persie's great, but inside that box, I've always believed he's our most lethal finisher.
And it wasn't just Wayne's goal-scoring exploits that stood out against the Germans on Tuesday. Michael Carrick and Robin Van Persie were impressed with a man-of-the-match display from their teammate.
Yeah, he played really well, and I love to play with Wayne, you know. He has a bit of everything. He can drop, he can go in behind, he can play the sort of short game, longer game. I love to play with Wayne. I think he did really well.
Yeah, that's probably as good as I've seen him for a while. I think he was sharp, he was hungry, just you know, his movement, his touch, everything was there tonight, and just showed exactly what a player he is. So yeah, it's great for us to have him in that form.
With the whole season ahead of us and some important matches and challenges along the way, Rooney is in a scoring mood and will be confident that he can chase down more records and fire United to success.
Now, United's under-19s were involved in a thrilling game, overcoming Bayer Leverkusen 4-3 in their opening UEFA Youth League match. Great game, wasn't it, Adam Marshall? It had everything, that game.
It did, really. I mean, it was one of those where you could tell right from the word go it was going to be some great game, really. I mean, we were 2-0 up with it. Came back, got back on level terms before half-time, and were beating us, of course. It looked at that time where we'd probably get beaten, you know, realistically. We'd let a two-goal lead slip, but then Andres Pereira got us back. Then the red card for Paddy McNair. So again, you thought, well, we're going to be lucky to hold on for a point. And then James Wilson, streak clear as he does, and as he had already done during the game a couple of times with his pace, got the penalty and smashed it home. So it was brilliant, to be honest. A great advert for that competition, the new one. If all the games are like that, we'll be sort of tuning in all the time.
Absolutely. Nicky Butt taking charge of that team, James. Great to see our ex-players involved. Of course, Nicky's been in and around the set-up with the 21s for a while, but it'd be a good experience for him as well.
It will, yeah. In terms of, you know, travelling around to different European venues, different styles of opposition and stuff, yeah. I think that's a really good way for him to sharpen his teeth, really. In terms of the competition itself, I think there's some positives for for the team and for the manager, really different, again, different experiences and a different opposition. You just wonder whether you hope it's not to the detriment in terms of too much travelling, the fixture congestion, that kind of thing.
I think Nicky was in that team, well, he was in that famous youth team, of course, and they used to cut their teeth, in European terms anyway, playing in that Blue Stars tournament in Zurich. So, you know, he knows all about the value of playing against young players of different nationalities in a different setting as well. So I think he'll, you know, be advocating the benefits of the competition. What struck me about Nicky, listening to his interview on MUTV after with our colleague Adam Marshall here, was he did strike me as management potential for the first time, really. Not that I ever sort of doubted it in the past, but to hear him speak after the match with such enthusiasm and such knowledge, I thought, yeah, I can see, you know, from that class of 92, people often wondered which of them will go on to become a manager. I think Nicky seems to have the right approach anyway, and certainly came across speaking on MUTV as a manager to watch for the future.
I think so. I mean, he's obviously relishing the job. He's only been in it just over a year here in terms of coaching at United, and we were saying, you know, he's made great strides to be coaching a team all on his own in that short period of time. And I know he went out, didn't he, to scout Leverkusen. He went over to Germany, I think, at the weekend, and that shows you that he's willing to put the hard yards in and do the research. So it's all started well. I'm sure every game won't be as exciting as that one for him, but as long as he gets the results like that, we'll all be sort of championing his cause.
You mentioned that 92 youth team, of which Nicky Butt was part. So too was Paul Scholes, Adam. He was sat there on the bench. Great to see him involved in the setup.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's to be decided what role Paul Scholes will play at the club. I think that's still to be sort of confirmed and no doubt agreed with Paul himself.
But just got to keep him involved if Paul Scholes.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's one of those, isn't it, where he was such a great player. Sometimes it's been hard for great players to, you know, impart what they know about the game and pass on their skills to younger players, but certainly got to try it. Can't let it go to waste, that knowledge and that ability. I just hope he can sort of articulate it and pass it on to other players, which is not always easy.
I'm sure he will. OK, let's hear from the under-19s for this competition, their manager, Nicky, but about the UEFA League when he spoke to Stuart Gardner.
It's a great concept. I think it's something that will be a valuable learning experience for our young lads, and I think it's something that I would have liked to have played when I was that age. But I think it's, in all fairness, I think it's been a bit of a rush thing for our lads at the minute, because we're not kitted out for that age group, because obviously our school years run differently compared to what UEFA's rules are with the 95 January birthday. So some of the lads miss out, which is not ideal, but it's a massive competition for them. You know, it's great. It can run alongside the Youth Cup, obviously, and then the Under-21s League as well. So it's a great tournament, and we're pleased to have it.
How valuable an experience is it, do you think, to take on, you know, continental players for these young lads?
I think it's really valuable if they've got aspirations of playing for a top club like ours, and you end up playing Europe. And then the top players always play for the national teams as well. So it's massive importance is within that league to get your experience, not only of playing against foreign opposition and players, but, you know, different styles of refereeing. You know, you can't put your foot up, you can't really speak to the referees in a certain manner. So all that kind of learning as well. And as a coach as well, you know, learning to keep calm on the sideline and not be shouting and bawling, because the, you know, foreign referees, they certainly don't like that. And so we'll all be learning, really. So it's something we're all looking forward to.
I suppose, in particularly, the away games will be a terrific experience. I suppose it's one thing to play here, but if you're playing in Donetsk or Sociedad or something like that, I mean, that's unique, really, isn't it, that sort of experience?
It is. It's a massive experience for them. I mean, obviously, we try and give them as much learning experiences as we can at the club and send them over to tournaments all over the world. But when it comes to out-and-out European football, they're going to experience it firsthand. They're going to be going to I think most of the stadiums that we play at away from home are going to be relatively close to the ground or on the same site as the ground. So we'll have a lot of away fans, well, our own fans there, and obviously the home supporters there as well. So it's a great experience for them, and something we're all looking forward to.
Now, it is, of course, Derby Week, and if you want to check out our Match Day podcast, which is available 24 hours before kickoff, you can hear lots and lots from our podcasters about the game at the Etihad Stadium. But just for now, we'll just talk about the experience of the Derby as a whole, Adam. What does it mean to you?
Well, it's an exciting day, the exciting week leading up to it, I suppose. It's punctuated these days by often midweek games, as we've had this week with the Champions League, whereas back in the day you had a whole week to build up to it, and build up was huge. It does mean everything, I think, to fans, particularly in the city. You know, it is about going to work with people who support the opposition, going to school. I think we can all remember days of going to school and being ribbed mercilessly when our team has lost a derby. There's no hiding place when your team's lost to the local rivals. And I think all of that still continues to give the match a particular edge. Of course, nationally and indeed internationally, this fixture now is looked upon as one of great significance in the race for the title. But I think still above all that, it still means more to the local fans as to just that chance to put one over on your rivals and be able to go to work or wherever the next day and hold your head up.
And we're going to hear from Andy Cole shortly, James, about which game he thinks is bigger, City versus United or Liverpool versus United. He's gone for the latter. What are your thoughts?
Very personally, it's still Liverpool for me, but I think that's something to do with geography and the fact that I live slap bang in the middle of the two cities, so I've got lots of Liverpool friends who like to harp on about history and European Cups and stuff, but the City game is still big, obviously, to me, and even more so recently because of how difficult the games have become against them. It's definitely one of the top two games that I look out for and something I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
And the Etihad is a tough place for any team to go, Adam, yet we have had some decent results there in recent years.
We have probably better than most, haven't we, really, I think. Other teams have struggled there, and it's a formidable place to go. You know, they've managed to pull off wins sometimes when they've been a couple of goals down, haven't they, and losing. Of course, in that last day, they managed to do that when they were losing as well and pull it off and turn it around. So they've managed to turn it into a bit of a fortress. And we know, we're under no illusions, it's going to be really hard to go there and get a decent result. But we've got to be confident after midweek.
OK, I mentioned Andy Cole earlier and getting his thoughts on the derby. Let's hear from the Red Legend now.
I always look at Liverpool as the biggest match of the season. Those two games are massive games. Now, I'm not being disrespectful to Manchester City because they're two big games as well, the two massive games, but I just think that the rivalry between Manchester United and Liverpool, the history of the football club, obviously winning championships, I look at it as the biggest game.
How well do you think City have recruited this summer?
I think they bought some decent players, to be fair. Navas is a good player. You know, he's quick, speedy winger, likes to get the ball in the box, likes to score a few goals as well. Negredo, I think he's integrated into Man City really well so far. I think he's going to be a handful. And in the midfield areas, you know, they brought some players in as well. So they're going to be a strong unit, as well as changing the manager. You know, they're going to be a strong team. There was a strong team last year, and a strong team the year before that. So they're going to be a good team, and you would imagine that.
Do you think Pellegrini is the right man for that job?
Only time will tell. I think why they've gone for Pellegrini, speaking to quite a few people, that is that he likes to get his players on board. You know, he's a manager who, you know, enjoys managing, not confrontational with his manager, and wants to keep everyone together as teammates and not try and dig individuals out. And I think that was a problem with Mancini. He wasn't a people person, and the players fell out of love with him. I think when players start to fall out with the manager, I mean, his job becomes a lot tougher because then performances start to dip, you know, and ultimately your players keep you in a job or they get you fired from your job. And it turned around in the end that the players have got him fired from his job.
Are you surprised they suffered defeat at Cardiff?
I'm not surprised in anything in the Premiership because anyone can beat anyone. And that's why the Premiership's so good. You know, I wouldn't believe that they went there thinking, oh, it's Cardiff, we've just been promoted, we're going to steamroll them 5-0, because I don't think anyone really thinks like that in the Premiership. But when you do go to a different ground on a newly promoted team, you know they're going to give 100%. And it looked like Cardiff deserved a win, so you really have to expect that with football.
Do you think, though, that they will be right up there challenging with perhaps us and Chelsea?
I would imagine so. They was there last season. And it was there the season before, so I would imagine that Manchester City will be there or thereabouts coming the season. New usual suspects, four teams can win the Premiership, Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea and Arsenal, so it's going to be the same teams again vying for the Premiership this season.
And finally, let's play a little quiz. You guys at home, feel free to play along as well, as it's podcaster versus player. We asked Andy Cole a set of questions about his United career, and now I'd like to invite one of you podcasters to represent yourselves. Who's it going to be?
I think it's horses for courses, James. I think we need to pick our strongest, most experienced player for this.
I agree, Adam, yeah. I think Adam Marshall is, you know, he's a walking encyclopedia about United. His knowledge about Andy Cole especially never fails to amaze me.
Well, let's prove that completely wrong. Come on then.
Let's see, shall we? So, as I say, I will ask the question. You give me your answer, Adam. Then we'll hear Andy Cole's answer. And then I will give the correct answer. OK, let's go for it then. The first question is this. Who scored for Manchester United on Andy Cole's debut?
I think his debut was against Blackburn. And I remember him racing clear through on goal after about 30 seconds. Apart from that, it's a bit of a blank now, and they all merge into one, the Blackburn. I remember several goals against Blackburn, and I might be picking the wrong game here, but I'm going to guess on Eric Cantona.
Eric Cantona, says Adam. OK, let's hear Andy's answer.
Eric.
Well done, you're both right, so that's one apiece. OK, question number two. How many goals did Andy Cole score for Manchester United?
Exactly.
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 Correct. That's what we need.
All competitions.
All competitions. How many goals did Andy Cole score for United?
Playing for time. 189.
189, says Adam. Let's hear from Andy.
Oh, my God. I don't even know. 90?
OK, you are both wrong. 121 is the correct answer.
That's him a lot, isn't it, when I think about it.
He said 90. OK, so it remains one apiece. Question number three. Who scored more goals for United, Andy Cole or Cristiano Ronaldo?
Andy Cole.
OK, let's hear Andy's answer.
Ronnie, most probably.
Adam, you're correct. 2-1 to you. It was Andy Cole. OK, question number four. This is brilliant. If you get this, I will be completely amazed. I knew it, of course, because I bought it. But what was the highest chart position of Andy Cole's 1999 single, Outstanding?
The highest chart position?
That's right. What I want.
Nice, easy one. 48.
OK, let's hear Andy's answer.
Number one. What are you laughing at?
You're both wrong. Andy Cole, I can't believe he said number one. He was obviously joking. But it was actually 68.
68.
His short-lived pop career. I think he was better off sticking to the football, don't you? OK, so remained 2-1 to Adam. The fifth question and final question of this round is this. In which season did Andy Cole score the most goals? 97-98, 98-99 or 99-2000?
99-2000.
Okay, so you say 99-2000. What does Andy say?
Why do people ask me questions about me? I've not got the foggiest.
97-98. That was World Cup season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go for that one.
It was 97-98. Andy Cole got it right. He's equalised, so it means it finishes 2-2 and goes to a tiebreaker. This is the tiebreaker, Adam. What was the combined number of goals scored by Cole and York in the treble-winning season of 98-99?
All competitions again?
Yes.
York. 55.
Let's hear Andy's answer.
York, he had 29, and I have 25, I think.
Well, Adam, you were two away with 55, but Andy was just the one away with 54, and he wins it for the players. Well done to him. The next player in the hot seat, by the way, is Anders Lindegaard, so make sure you join us for that one. And as I said, you guys play along in the Anders Lindegaard quiz next time. But that's all we've got time for. Many thanks to James Tuck, to Adam Marshall, to Adam Bostock from the club website. Thanks to you guys at home for listening as well. We will see you again very soon. Bye for now.